and any other government that is supporting the Iraqi security forces needs to be aware that their resources are also going to these militias, and therefore those resources are actually being used for war crimes.
Tarana Hassan is a researcher with Human Rights Watch, speaking to us from Geneva. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.
Support for Morning Edition on WILL comes from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the mid-morning commodity market report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 546 and a quarter, up 3.5. Soft May, 506 and a quarter, up 2.75. May corn is 370.5, down 0.5. July, 378 and a quarter, down 3/4. December, 395.5, down 1.25. May beans, 958.5, up 4. July, 963.5, up 4. November, 944.25, up 4.25. May soybean meal, 318.50, up a dollar. May soybean oil, 3041, up 37 cents. April live cattle, 154.85, up 127.5. March feeders, 212, 27.5, up 70. And April lean hogs are 61.70. They are down 7.5.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
I suppose everybody is holding their breath over the word patient today.
They certainly are, aren't they? I think that, and that's just not everybody here in the U.S. That's everybody in the world, because when you scan the news everywhere, you're seeing them talk the U.K. budget. Everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen, and so I think that's the biggest news that we have for the day, other than they now have come out and said that they believe that Brazil's economy is actually going to go into contraction rather than an expansion mode, and that's certainly not a great situation. You know, the Brazilian truckers' talks have stalled again, and I think that's what's giving us a little bit of support on the bean side of things. So on top of, beans are being supported too. Now, I don't know how China can pull this off, but they say China bought about 18 cargoes of beans last week, and I didn't see one announcement, coming out anywhere saying that they had bought anything. So they must be, they're pretty good at being business people. If they buy out more than 100,000 metric tons at a time, it's got to be announced, and so they must go in there at 99.9 or something like that, keep it under the radar.
They're also reported to have bought a lot of wheat today, too.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, and so, they can afford to do it. That's the interesting part, and that's because they do not have the yuan does not really float against the dollar like any of the other currencies in the world, and so they have not experienced the dramatic increases in cost to them. Like people, like other people. And so they can afford to buy a lot compared to anybody else. And I suspect what they're doing is, they're buying up a lot and then they're turning around and they're selling it to other countries because it costs them less and they can still make money doing that. They're pretty smart guys. They're good business people.
So if the word patient is removed from the Federal Reserve's language regarding short-term interest rates, what happens to the dollar going forward?
Well, I think the dollar's going to continue to climb is what's going to happen, and it's a scary situation in that respect. I mean, when we hit 100, it kind of takes you skip a beat on your heart.
That's a pretty stout resistance number, too, though.
It is, and then 102 is a major resistance. You know, that'd be the 62% retracement. We're not being helped any. And you know, yesterday we had a really tough day at the markets, and I believe most of that was because there was so much tweeting about bird flu, you know, and the spread of bird flu and the implications for demand and that impact, and maybe even export demand. And so today it's a little more quiet, but we do know that the algorithmic traders follow that, you know, and trade based on tweets and how many times things are said on Twitter itself. And so, you know, it must be better today, I guess. That's all I can say.
Is it possible that we could see the losses that we have seen this week in corn and beans be made up if the right information were to come out of the Fed today?
Well, I think that, boy, I don't know if it'll impact us as much in the grain markets as it may impact other parts of the or other sectors. You know, it's the crude oil sector, of course, may be impacted by it. I don't know if I would bet on that, Dave, but you know, I think you'd...
Well, I'm thinking it's a domino thing. If the treasuries and crude oil were to adjust, then could that allow for grain and livestock to follow?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, you know, from a standpoint that... but would it be a long-term adjustment? I guess that'd be the question that a person would have to ask themselves. Is that something that's sustainable or not?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to get through the... grain stocks report at the end of the month, and we have to get through the acreage report at the end of the month. You know, and I think it's well held, and it makes sense. You know, grain stocks are going to be higher than they were a year ago. They, you know, that only is common sense. But at the same time, how much higher is the question? You know, and grain stocks is still the heart of everything because it is the report that reflects what actual domestic demand is.
Speaking of the acreage report. We do have numbers from Farm Futures Magazine. Now, remember, this one's on a survey. It isn't 80,000 farmers, but it is 1,400, and it might be suggestive. They're saying 87.27 million acres of soybeans, and they are saying, for corn, 88.34.
Hmm.
You like those numbers?
Do I like those numbers?
Do you think they're in line with what you know so far?
Well, I think that the bean number's high. I guess I look at the overall acreage number at 175.5 million acres,
mm-hmm.
probably being on the high side considering where prices are right now. But I can tell you this much. This is the first time this week that I've been hearing people say to me that there have been rented acres that have been coming up for land or coming up and opening up, 1,500 here, 1,000 there, and in Indiana, same thing going on in Illinois, same thing going otherwhere, and it's because bankers will not lend people additional money. So they're giving up the acres is what they're doing. And so, you know, it's a big question. I'm sure those acres will get picked up by somebody else, but I think the bean number is a little bit high myself. I think the corn number, maybe a little bit low,
mm-hmm.
but... It just depends. You know,
right.
When was the survey taken? Was it taken when corn prices were still, you know, when the balance was off between the two? That's the big question. And so it's anybody's guess. And when you come right down to the bottom line, Dave, it depends upon what spring is going to do.
Right.
You know, if we get an early spring going, you know, which it looks like we might get some onto the land in some areas a little earlier in the Midwest, you know, if we're planting corn and it's going good, we may just plant more acres of corn. You know, the key, I think, will come down to how many acres of double crop corn are going to be abandoned, you know, out in Iowa. Iowa's the biggest double crop state there is. And they normally don't drop much more than about 2.5 to 5% a year if they drop that much. And so, you know, that'll be the bigger question as to corn acres. And so, you know, if you pencil, it's going back and forth. There are times, depending upon what you produce, that you may come out dead even between corn and beans, even though corn costs more to put into the ground. Then there are other areas where corn will just kick beans in the pan.
Okay.
You know, so it'll be interesting.
Just a few seconds left. A quick question. Will there be enough on the cattle on feed report on Friday to have a volatile reaction in Friday's market or Monday's market when we come back?
Well, I think that most of the activity will be done prior to the report even coming out, but I don't think that there'll be enough of a big surprise that it's going to cause a huge shift either way. And you know, when you look at that market, it's mostly money flow anyway, more than anything else. And so, I'd have to say I'd be surprised.
All right, we'll leave it there then. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Dave. Bye bye.
Bye bye, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. May corn, 369, down 2. July, 376 and 3 quarters, down 2 and a quarter. December, 394 and a quarter, down 2 and a half. May beans, 957, up 2 and a half. July, 962, up 2 and a half. November, 942 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. May soybean meal, 318.30, up 80 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.